Welcome to the Irish NFL Show schedule release special. We feel like we've been released from our cages now that we have some actual games to look forward to. And before we get to the NFL schedule, though, we also have the actual Aer Lingus College Football Classic to look forward to. Now officially 100 days from that clash between Georgia Tech and Florida State at the Aviva Stadium. Very much looking forward to that on the 24th of August. Now, you may well have seen your own NFL team schedule by now, and given that there were more leaks than the roof of Old Trafford a couple of weeks ago, as Brian said, there's a good chance you knew a lot of the details before the 1 a.m. Embargo this morning. That's all now confirmed, though, and most of the leaks turned out to be fairly accurate, but everyone's pouring through the big marquee matchups, weighing up the strength of schedule metrics, trying to figure out whether to plan for a trip to New Orleans next February for Super Bowl 59. As always, thanks to our partner Quinbet. Quinbet are offering enhanced pricing on a couple of off-season NFL bets if you fancy that you can pick who's going to be in New Orleans and who's going to win it all next February. Ravens currently 11-1. The Chiefs are 7-1 to win it all with that enhanced pricing this upcoming season. Those odds are only available until close of business tomorrow. Both of those teams, of course, squaring off the season in the season opener, and we'll get to that matchup very closely. Before we do so, though, to celebrate the season release, and the Jags coming back to London for two games, one at Wembley Stadium and one at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, we have a signed Trevor Lawrence mini helmet to give away. Brian is displaying there for those of you watching us live on YouTube. Just retweet this very self-same live broadcast that you're watching on X. That's at IRENFL to all of you who follow or who need the link on Instagram. You just follow the Irish NFL Show. So if you just follow us at IRENFL Show, you will instantly be in with a chance of winning, and we'll draw the winner of that Trevor Lawrence helmet for anybody who follows the instruction there. We have the gang all here tonight. We've Brian, Colm, Shane and Noel alongside me, Connor. And let's start with the opening slate of games for week one. Here they are in all of their glory, so we can get a quick overview of what's happening. Ravens at Chiefs, we'll get to in just a moment. Steelers at Falcons, that's an interesting one where Arthur Smith faces off already against his former team. Commanders at Bucks. Packers at Eagles, another tasty matchup. Titans at Bears. Raiders at Chargers. A lot of really good matchups there. But let's start with that very first game, which is Ravens at Chiefs in the Thursday night opener. Brian, you were there, as was Colm, to see the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. They go again, and they have a pretty stiff start against the Ravens. AFC Championship game rematch. Nice bit of scheduling for the NFL opener. They know how to manage these storylines masterfully. Ravens very much will feel like they have some unfinished business to attend to, and that things have gone on another path that would have been them squaring off against the 49ers in Allegiant Stadium.
Slightly surprised they went with this game. Fantastic game for all neutrals to look forward to in September. It's the kind of game where you're starving of NFL, and no matter who you support, you'll find a way to be navigating maybe a later start on the Friday and staying up for this one. And I think by the time September comes, we'll be all very excited. But it's surprising in a way because the NFL doesn't need any reason to put on a marquee game like this to open the season. They'll always get the interest. So for them to go with this kind of pretty much confirms some of where the NFL's heads are and where most fans' heads are, is that these two are the leading knights in the AFC right now, the Ravens, with Lamar Jackson coming off an MVP season, and the Chiefs. And I think the Chiefs, in a way, will kind of be re-energized by this game as well, as, again, another opportunity to put a marker down, because they started slowly. By and large, it was a slow season last year, but like they started off obviously losing to the Lions in the opening night, which was a bit of a surprise. And I think this is an opportunity to put it on America. Bear in mind, sometimes you look at week two as well as a significant week. They play the Bengals the following week. If they were to get off to a fast start at 2-0, having taken care of two teams in the AFC North with the bigger picture further down the line in terms of seedings, it could be a huge game, albeit very early on in the season. But obviously the Ravens, you touched on there, they'll obviously feel that they were aggrieved that they didn't make the Super Bowl, and they'll want to obviously, I suppose, get the revenge on that disappointing night last January. But a great game to start the season.
Colm, one of the last things we said as we wrapped our coverage in Las Vegas after the Super Bowl was, if the Chiefs can win it in a down year, you're kind of shudder to think what they'll do when they go and address some of their issues, add to the wide receiver room, as they did during the draft and also with the signing of Hollywood Brown, and plug some of the holes. Do you like the Chiefs to start off the quest for a three-peat with a win here? Or what kind of shape do you think they're going to be in for that season opener?
I saw a lot of the reaction when this initially came out, Connor, was around, how much time Andy Reid was going to have to plan. And obviously, Andy Reid is an offensive genius, and he has the best quarterback in the league. But Andy Reid's opening record isn't incredible. Like, it's good. He certainly has he's a winning percentage. But as Brian talked about, the Lions beat them last year. I do fancy them in this stuff because I think the Ravens have real problems right now. Now, you know, in August, that might look different, but the Ravens had brought in a significant number of players on one-year deals, and those players have moved on. They tend to be a team who brings players in during training camp, so we might see that happen again. But losing Mike McDonald, I think, is a significant factor. He really had that defense playing incredibly well. He took players who had struggled elsewhere and got them to gel, and that defense was absolutely ferocious. The defense was the reason ultimately that they were still in that championship game for as long as they were. And him moving to Seattle, I do think that will have an impact. I think the Ravens will still be very good. And I think Derrick Henry is a great signing for them, because he's not going to have to be the kind of workhorse that he was with the Titans. But the Chiefs, it's not like they had their ideal off-season thus far either. I have no doubt we will hear Patrick Mahomes emulate Peyton Manning's famous line about idiot kickers. They could have done without that distraction. And Rishi Rice, let's see if we see him on a football field, certainly the early part of the season. But overall, I think the Chiefs have strengthened it. Spags has a new deal. Andy Reid, they're talking about a new deal. I will say the thing that I think will be interesting around this as well, and to see what happens in the regular season, I think you won't see the Chiefs lean into Kelce. I think you saw that last year. Kelce came alive in the playoffs. I think that will be a recurring theme for as long as Travis continues to play.
Right, that's your Thursday opener. You don't have to wait too long for the next installment, because the Packers are playing the Eagles in Sao Paulo, first ever NFL game in Brazil on Friday. Somebody please, please give me a documentary about Philadelphia Eagles fans traveling to Sao Paulo. Give me Jason Kelce going mad in the favela. I just can't wait to see that. It needs to happen. Please, please, I'm manifesting it now. Shane, it's the first ever Brazil game. And it's a really intriguing matchup again, because you got a team that finished the season a lot stronger than a lot of people expected and kind of unveiled themselves as contenders in waiting in the Packers a lot sooner than everybody expected with Jordan Love as quarterback. And you have the Eagles, who absolutely collapsed down the stretch and got handled in the playoffs by the Bucs, but have made the typical Eagles off-season moves and look like they've tooled it up again and will hope for much better things in the season ahead. What way do you see this one go?
Well, I think it's important for Nick Sirianni to try and get himself off the hot seat as quick as possible, because even the talk in the offseason that he could potentially be replaced, that people are, of course, the whole Bill Belichick ghost is sort of hanging over the whole of the NFC East at the moment, which is, I think, a very unusual spot to be in. But you had to, like, as much as Nick Sirianni brought a very good Eagles team to the Super Bowl the previous year, that was a complete collapse in the tail end of last season, and the coaching has to take the brother the blame for that. I know that there will be a lot of talk about the fact that this is an international game. Maybe he's getting away from the spotlight, but then at the same time, this is their first time playing in Brazil, and there are logistical elements around that. But it's the first game of the season. It's not like they're coming off from playing the previous Sunday, like a lot of the teams head over to London or the UK are. But what I really find interesting about this is, like, they haven't given the Eagles, which I think they are the designated home team, if I'm right in saying, they haven't given them an easy game. Like you outlined there, Connor, like the Green Bay Packers are upcoming. They have a Jordan Love who is proven as get the Cowboys a good walloping. It's giving a lot of hope to the Green Bay Packers with all of the other talent they have that they can really challenge coming into the next couple of years. It's a really strong test for the Eagles, who are now without Kelce, who led their tush push, a tactic which worked fantastically up until about midway through last season and was exposed completely as a crutch that once they couldn't lean on it, that everything else in their offense collapsed. So it's on Jalen Hurts to refine his all of his offensive ability. It's on Nick Sirianni to show that he has spent the the off season, you know, kicking the ass that he needs to kick. And it's also on the rest of the squad to ensure that the guys that they've signed, including the two cornerbacks that they drafted quite high on, and Saquon Barkley, who is a brilliant running back, offensive talent, to say, hey, we have these guys, we're going to use them well against the Green Bay Packers, who will come into this feeling very prepared and feeling very confident that they can have a very good season.
Noel, the line on this one, in as much as you can place a huge amount of faith in it, given how far we are out from the actual hostilities commencing, is 1.5 points. And it's the Packers catching 1.5. The Eagles are favoured in this one, which I find interesting, given, as we said, where both teams finished up this season, given how young and upcoming that Packers team is and what we saw from them. Do you see it that way, or do you see Green Bay getting off the season with a win?
You know, Connor, this is, Brian talked about the first game and how big that game is. For me, this was the game that stood out to me a lot for what you mentioned. We had a team that started the season really well and then collapsed, and another team that kind of went the opposite way. I mean, if you look at this time last year, the Eagles are being looked at as a Super Bowl contender, and obviously the Packers are being looked at as a team in transition, you know, quarterback coming in, starting for the first time, a lot of young guys in the receiving core. And when you look at it now, you see the way the season went. You know, I think it's, the questions for me are, you know, are the Eagles who we thought they were last season, or are they the team that collapsed? And same for the Packers. Are they the team now? Are they as good as they look this season? Or will that young quarterback and that young receiving core take a step back? Will defenses kind of tweak things going up against Jordan Love? And for me, that's the big question. And it's going to be fascinating to find out. I know you don't find out everything in week one, but it still gives you a bit of a pointer. And I think this game could go anyway, because I genuinely think both teams actually will be good in the coming season. So I do think it will be a close game, but I think it could go either way. The Packers are more than good enough if they continue that development to get the win. But on the flip side, if the Eagles do get back to what they were last season, I mean, they opened the season 10-1. They were flying. If they can kind of get back into that, as Shane said, if Sirianni has kicked a few people and, you know, got people moving again, then they could conceivably go out and win this. So I actually think no matter what happens, it will be a very good game. And, you know, both teams could come out of this as a winner. But I think the interesting fact on top of that then is it's a neutral venue. So nobody has like an advantage. So it's just two good teams on a neutral venue. And we're going to see how they have developed and if they've continued from last season or how that's going to look.
Yeah, there'll be no Lambeau Leap. We'll see if there's a Sao Paulo somersault when that one takes place on the first Friday of the NFL season. Colm, Steelers at Falcons. You pay Kirk Cousins an enormous amount of money, and then you pull the biggest record scratch in the entire draft by opting to use the number 8 pick on Michael Penix. Giving us all great entertainment on the night, it has to be said, and plenty to chew over since. The Falcons are favoured in this one, though, which also has the tasty side plot, as I mentioned briefly earlier, of Arthur Smith facing his former team, who never seemed to have a quarterback when he was there, and then go and spend a fortune on one and add another one in the first round of the draft.
Yeah, so, well, some of that's on Arthur Smith himself. He's the man who famously didn't feel that he needed a quarterback. I had my doubts back when the Falcons initially gave that contract to Kirk Cousins, and clearly I wasn't alone, because Terry Fontenot evidently feels exactly the same way. I think, you know, I have my doubts around Kirk. I think he can only take you so far, and he's coming off the Achilles. So I think there are concerns there. But you know who I have more concerns about? Russell Wilson. Oh my goodness. He is the exact same guy that he was in Seattle and that he was in Denver, which shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, because Russ is Russ. But the all action videos, the going along to the different sports games, wearing the team's gear, the melodramatic interviews that he always gives. Right now, as it stands, he is QB1 for the Steelers, and that gives them a distinct disadvantage, I would argue. If the Steelers see sense, and if Mike Tomlin sees sense, and if Arthur Smith sees sense, they'll put Justin Fields as the starter. He is a better quarterback at this stage in his career than Russell Wilson. It may be that he will never ever reach the heights that Russ did. Russ used to be a very good QB. He isn't anymore. He takes too many sacks. He plays hero ball. George Pickens will, there'll be a highlight reel for George Pickens this season, but it may well come at the cost of Mike Tomlin's winning record. I would have the Falcons winning this unless they see sense and start Fields.
Brian, you're chuckling away there. One of the things I like about the schedule this season before we get to the Steelers, and something I came across just before we started broadcasting, Steelers have the third toughest schedule ranked by opponents' wins last season, which isn't always the most reliable metric, let's be honest, but it's an interesting place to start. But one of the things that's poxy, frankly, about the Steelers' schedule if you're in Pittsburgh is they play all six of their in-division games in what is one of the toughest divisions in the NFL over the final 8 weeks of the season. So I didn't like last season, though, there were so many divisional matchups so early on in the schedule, and there was a lot even in week one, so it meant that some of the key rivalries were over and done with before there was anything to play for, or we were sure who was heading for playoff games. That's not the case this year, but it does set up some intriguing drama for later on in the season. Anyway, sorry, that's a sidebar here.
Connor, I'm just show another sidebar before you go to Shane on this one. They also have the Chiefs on Christmas Day. Just show that one in. 6-0. So there's 7 in the last 8 games, divisions and a game against the Chiefs.
Lovely. Yeah, Shane, Steelers here, as Colin said, may see Justin Fields into action sooner rather than later, depending on how this one goes. It's not the easiest start to the season for them. It's one of two consecutive road games they play to open up.
Yeah, I think it's interesting as well, of course, that we're going into this. There's a long season ahead. Russell Wilson could come into this and have a fantastic game. And I actually think he will. I think this game is one where he's going to kick ass and then he drops off a cliff later on into the season.
Rematch of the 2011 Big Ten championship game for those who remember where Russell did take down Kirk Cousins.
But I think it's interesting as well because, of course, the face against the Falcons is a sort of a bowl of two teams who have an embarrassment of mediocre riches at quarterback. there's too many who's going to play here, who's going to play where. Of course, I guess the sense of quarterback controversy is stronger at Pittsburgh because there is genuinely a good argument for starting Russell Wilson and starting Justin Fields. And we don't know what way things will go throughout the training camps in the summer and the preseason games. What I'm really looking forward to seeing here, though, is that Russell Wilson will have a bee in his bonnet. And you can tell he's going to come into this just storming against an Atlanta Falcons team who I don't think have shored up enough on defense to have a good first half of the season. As much as they bolstered their offense with the pick or with the purchase of quarterback and pick for another quarterback, and the fact that it didn't pick our beloved hero Dallas Turner as the fill up their defensive holes, you know, that gives opportunity for teams who are playing him in the first half of the year to try and tear them apart before they can really get their act together. And Russell Wilson is going to make use of that before coming against another team in week 3, week 4, week 5, and things start falling off a cliff. Come October, he's going to have a scare show, and then Justin Fields is going to come into that spot as well. So, look, this it's going to become a talking point every week. Any situation that you have two quarterbacks where there is a good argument to play either or is going to become a conversation every week in every media outlet. It's going to be the same in Atlanta when Kirk Cousins has a bad game. I don't know how many prime times games the Falcons are playing, but you can guarantee that they probably won't do so well in those, being Kirk Cousins. That conversation is going to be strong there. It's going to be strong in New England. It's going to be strong in Pittsburgh, probably more than anywhere else. So, look, it's only 1 week. Enjoy, if you're not a Steelers fan, if you're not a fan of the, try to enjoy the chaos, which is something we never really associate with the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, an organization where stability has always been key. And now they have these two quarterbacks who both have, I guess, good merit in terms of their selection. But as Colin outlined, the hero ball that Russell Wilson will play might work against the Falcons, won't work later on in the season.
Noel, Cardinals at Bills again features two teams with very intriguing storylines heading into this season. Cardinals, a team that, you know, are getting a lot more buzz, having drafted Marvin Harrison, you know, the most explosive playmaker available in the draft, in most people's opinion, to pair with Kyler Murray. They're a team that was plucky last season, you know, talent poor, but competed in most games and did a lot better than a lot of people expected. Seemed to be very well coached. Jonathan Gannon doing a very good job in his first season there. The Bills, on the other hand, probably the second season in a row now, come in with a lot of question marks. And some senses, one might suggest that those are unjustified, given they've been a model of consistency. Yeah, they haven't won at all, but they've managed to pile up the regular season runs, wins, managed to put themselves into the right spot in the playoffs. Yeah, they didn't take down the Chiefs last year, but nobody else managed that either. You spoke to Matt Parrino recently, who covers the Bills, and he was quietly confident that they'll go well again.
He was. When I talked to Matt, we were just kind of discussing, there was a lot of moves made by the Bills this year. Obviously, salary cap issues pop up. And, you know, we talked about how teams have windows. And, you know, if you can't hit certain targets within those windows, at some point, you need to start looking to kind of change things about, obviously, because of salary cap concerns. So what Matt was talking about was that how this was, for a lot of Bills fans, it was an emotional offseason, given the number of kind of mainstay players who had to make a way out of the team. But what he did feel overall was that while the Bills may have to take some lumps this season, he feels they've really put themselves in a good place, you know, for 25, 26. And look, when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, it's, you know, he's the kind of player, that quarterback, that can make good receivers very good and, you know, average receivers good. So you're always in with a chance with him there. But when you do look at the players the Bills have lost, I mean, I do think this season it is a legitimate question. There is a lot of kind of good players, and, you know, we get to Stephon Diggs as well. He's gone, you know, there's a bit of change there. But I think when you look at the Bills team, they still have quality there. They still have some, you know, really, really good players that can make an impact. And then, as I say, you've got that quarterback who can just make players better and will always keep them in the running, especially for the division. You mentioned the Cardinals. The Cardinals are in a bit of a rebuild here at the moment as well. They look like they're trying to get younger. I mean, you bring in Marvin Harrison Jr. Look, he is arguably the best player in the draft just gone. So for Carla Murray, that's a really good piece to kind of start working off of. I mean, I expect the Bills to win this game. I think the Bills will be just a better team than the Cardinals. But again, how the Bills kind of find themselves going through the season, you know, that'll be interesting to see how these big, big changes really affect them. And will it be down the road when they really benefit, or will they be able to just keep going and doing what they're doing this season?
Right, conscious that we have an awful lot of games to get through, and we don't want to spend the entire night. I'm sure people have other things to do, so we might just kind of pick up the pace a little bit. I'll go off with Titans at Bears, which is the final game of our first segment here. An interesting one. I think Bears have kind of in the unusual position as far as Bears fans are concerned, where they're generally seen as having made a lot of the right moves during the offseason, set Caleb Williams, their presumptive franchise quarterback, up for success in the best way that they possibly could have done, really, given the options available to them. Catching Roma Dunze after that Michael Penix move by the Falcons paved the way for them to grab him as a receiver, pairing him with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, obviously, and they picked up Gerald Everett alongside Cole Kmet to bulk up those multiple tight end sets that Shane Waldron, their new offensive coordinator, loves to deploy and has had a lot of success with in previous jurisdictions, particularly in Seattle. But from a Titans perspective, I think they're also a team that's made a lot of the right moves. If they do decide to develop Will Levis as the quarterback, and if he develops into something that's worth having in the quarterback position, you know, bringing in Calvin Ridley, they got DeAndre Hopkins there, and they look like, and they've obviously taken Tony Pollard as well. They look like they've put him in a good position to succeed, and that could be very intriguing to watch. Having said that, after that four touchdown explosion in his debut by Levis, there were only four touchdowns in the remaining eight games of the season. Titans did not go well, bar the one kind of upset win against the Dolphins down the stretch. They've a lot to think about heading into this season. I don't think expectations are particularly high, which is in stark contrast to the situation in Chicago, where despite having a rookie quarterback, a lot of people penciling the Bears in to get to the playoffs, even though they got the Packers and the Lions standing in front of them in the NFC North. But this is going to be a good matchup. Bears 4.5-point favourites at home. Not the hardest start to a schedule that they could have possibly imagined. Probably a good one for Caleb to introduce himself to a very expectant and vociferous home crowd in Soldier Field for as long as Soldier Field is the Bears stadium, depending on what happens with their planning there. But that brings us to the end of our first segment of this schedule special at the Irish NFL Show.